We've been going through it. We've covered several of them. These are all the ones that are highlighted. We've talked about. We have not done number two yet because I'm not going in order. Last week, Pastor Colleen talked about honoring your parents. We've talked. So today, we've just got three left there. One left on the other, but today we're going to be talking about do not lie. That's commandment number nine. What was it? Did I hear an O? Here's the verse itself. It says, "You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor." How many of you realize, technically, if you're a stickler for words, it does not say do not lie, does it? We just kind of summarize it that way. But if you break down the words themselves, one version says to bear false testimony. But giving or bearing, that's basically our answer. That's our words that come out of our mouth. And false simply means deception, lie, misleading falseness. How many of you know you can technically not lie, but if you mislead people, how many of you know that's a lie? If you cause somebody to believe something by only giving them part of the truth, that's a lie. And then testimony is our witness. And then neighbor is really the same way Jesus used it. It's not just your friend or your companions, it's anybody. Basically, we often summarize it as do not lie. So I'm going to get you involved in this. How many of you know we need some participation? I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to be honest. Who has ever lied in your life? All right. Oh, man. Everybody pretty much raised their hand. Somebody didn't raise their hand in the first service, and I called them out. I was looking for someone to call. You were honest, right? We've all lied. All right, now if I were, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand on this, but if I said who lied this past week, how many of you would want, how many of you know there'd be less hands because you're like, uh-oh, people are looking at me. If you're married, you're going to be like, uh-oh, my spouse is looking, I can't do, or what if I said, how many of you lied yesterday? Or if I said, how many of you have already told a lie this morning? All right, how many of you know there'd be less lies? We don't want to talk about that. People are looking at us. And let me just say, this past week, after we got back from El Salvador, we were here. We went on a little family vacation, and for my family, that was 8 adults, a 5 and a 4-year-old, and 3 babies. So I have a quick video that I want to show that has absolutely nothing to do with what I'm going to say, but I'm going to show it anyway. Oh, that's the 3 babies right there, twins and Judah. Judah, Asher, and Eden, and yes, they are all crawling. And the reason I showed that is because I am a grandfather. But I did want to point something out about while we were there. Many of you know my granddaughter, Abby, who started kindergarten this year, and Levi. Since they were younger, actually, when my kids were young, I did the little trick with the pulling off the finger. How many of you have done that one before? Where you grab it, yeah, and you're like, when they're younger, they think that's really cool. Well, I realize Abby is 5 years old now, and she's like, something's not right. And she goes, let me see the inside of your finger when you pull it off. And I'm like, no. So I would just do it really quick. And she's like, no, I want to see the inside. And then I wouldn't do it. And then she kind of put her hand on her hip, looked at me. She goes, do you even know how to tell the truth? And I said, I promise you, she just said that. And I said, of course. I said, she goes, are you really pulling off your finger? And I had to say, well, it's a trick. And the trick is I know the answer and you don't. Because listen, I'm not going to give her the answer because I got 3 more baby kids that I got to pull this trick on. And she will tell all of them. So what I didn't expect was for her to say that. It was pretty funny. I'm like, well, isn't that ironic? I'm talking about lying. And I got challenged by my 5-year-old to know if I even know how to tell the truth. So let me give you some facts on lying. Men lie on the average of 6 times a day. Women lie on the average 3 times a day. And I think it's a woman that put these stats together. I'm just saying. 60% of people cannot go 10 minutes in a conversation without lying. Ouch, right? Children learn to start lying at the age of 2, and they become convincing by the age of 4. Now, let me just say, those of you that are parents, how many of you had overachievers in your house? No, they were convincing. And listen, I shared this with the first service. Two of my kids, I'm not going to give their name. They were overachievers at lying before four. And, you know, Joshua, he never could lie convincingly. So let me just say that. So I'm not giving away the other two. Just saying. So, and then I read this statistic, 70% of statistics are made up on the spot, so all of that could have been a lie. I'm not lying to you, I promise you. It was on the internet, so it had to be true. So here's the thing. For those of you that say, oh, I don't lie, well, the statistics show that you probably have. And listen, I'm not calling anybody a liar because you don't have to answer to me. All I am is the messenger. All right, I'm just telling you what it is. So we all understand we're not supposed to lie, right? Does anybody like do you question that? Of course not. And in our home, while our kids were growing up, the worst possible thing you could do was lie. How many of you had that in your home? Like, there's a lot of things you're going to get in trouble for, but we actually punished accordingly. You got the worst punishment when you had a lie because we wanted them to be truthful, to learn that. So all kinds of reasons we lie. How many of you know, often we don't even call it a lie. We like to call it a half-truth, right? Or this one always cracked me up. It's just a little white lie. I don't think the size and the color of the lie matter. Right? It could be a medium-sized purple lie, and it's still a lie. But well, oh, it's just a white lie, or I'm just avoiding confrontation, or yeah, I'm lying. I don't want to hurt their feelings, or here's something that's in our day and age. I'm just letting their truth be their truth and my truth my truth, and I don't cross the boundaries there. How many of you know truth is truth regardless of who owns it? Right? Even if you reject it, that doesn't change the truth. We may call it exaggerating, or I love this one, stretching the truth. Right? Oh, I'm just stretching it a little bit. Whatever it is, let's be honest. We know a lie is a lie. And there's many reasons we lie. There's a fear of punishment. I think that's a big one for kids. It's like, oh yeah, I'm going to make up a lie because I might get in trouble. Protecting yourself. Maybe you lie to protect somebody else. Right? Oh, I don't want them to get in trouble. Avoiding embarrassment. Don't raise your hand, but how many times have we lied to avoid embarrassment? Did you do that? No, I didn't do that. That was somebody else. Politics right now. How many of you know people lie in order to gain power? I know that may be shocking, right? How many of you know politicians lie? Right? Oh, man, but they did it so well. It doesn't matter. Right? A lie is a lie. Sometimes we just lie out of compulsion because you got in the habit of lying. And I don't know, don't raise your hand, but if you have become a compulsive liar, sometimes you do and you don't even know why you did it. Like there wasn't even any reason for it. But here's the thing, those are just surface issues of why we lie. Those are just surface. How many of you know there are actually deeper issues? There's the roots of why we lie. And if we can discover the reasons why, how many of you know it helps us to stop it? Right? If we can get into that and really find out what those roots are and what lying does, lying always reveals some kind of a lack in our life. Something that is missing, some kind of perception, because people don't just lie in a vacuum for no reason. There is something lacking, and I want to tell you, your words are powerful. The Bible says that life and death are in the tongue, right? We can either speak life or death that comes out of us, and the things that come out of our mouth actually reveal the things that are going on in the inside, right? More than you want to admit it, it really does. So the points that I want to cover, if it hits home with you today, I want to challenge you. Go ahead and take it. Allow God to do a work. If it doesn't, you might know somebody else. And I think if you understand why they may be lying, you can be a little more understanding and compassionate. Amen? Because everybody is working through this life together, trying to figure things out. So I'm going to give you the first reason, first lack that we have is a lack of contentment. A lack of contentment. We are quick to lie about anything and everything that is in us, that's around us, that's in our circumstances that we feel discontentment over. Right? I don't like this about myself, so I'm going to lie about it. I don't like this about my circumstance, so I'm going to lie about it. I'm going to post this fake picture that everything is great in my home, even if it isn't. So we lie in order to cover the discontentment in our life. And listen, I kind of touched on this the second week when I talked about coveting, because discontentment leads to covet, but it also leads to lying. So we need to discuss that. One of the big lies that we believe, and I think almost all of us at one time or another have believed this, that the grass is always greener anywhere else but in my life. Everybody else has got it better. Everybody's relationship is better. Everybody's home life is better. Everybody's got everything that I need in my life. And we believe that. We believe that. And so we start pursuing that. Here's a great verse out of 1 Timothy. It says, true godliness, I like that, true godliness, not fake, right? Not being religious, like, oh yeah, I'm doing all the right things. True godliness, it says, with contentment is great wealth. After all, we brought nothing with us in, we came into the world, and we can take nothing with us when we leave it. Anybody's baby born with clothes on? Yeah, no, they all come naked. And listen, even if you go to your grave and they put on your nicest outfit, how many of you know it's not going with you? It's deteriorating in the ground somewhere. So we don't get to take anything. So he's saying godliness with contentment. What is that word? And I want to give you the Bible definition, and then I want to give you a dictionary definition and see where the difference is. So contentment, according to the scripture, the Greek word means satisfaction in one's circumstance or position in life. I can be satisfied with my circumstances and my position. Here's what the dictionary says. A perfect condition in life which no aid or support is needed. Is that true? The sufficiency, do you ever need help in your life? Right? Does that mean you're not content if you need help?
No.
And it says the sufficiency of the necessities of life, of a life, a mind content with its lot. So let me tell you, to be content does not mean you have to have a perfect life. Doesn't mean all your ducks got to be in a row in order to have a contentment in my life. Listen, I can find satisfaction with my circumstance and my position no matter what. But it's only found in God. This next verse actually uses the same Greek word, but it's translated with three words. It says, God will generously provide all you need, then you will always have everything you need. That is that same word, contentment, and plenty left over to share with others. How many of you think, that's what I want? I just want everything that I need. If I could just get everything that I need, wouldn't that be great? What if I told you today that probably in this room, everybody here and anybody that happens to be watching online, you already have everything you need. You already have everything. See, here's the problem, especially us in a Western culture, is that we forgot what in life is actually a need and what is a want. Isn't that true? I mean, let me just be honest. I want a lot of things, but I only need a few things. A lot of things that I want, like I said, and we can't see the difference. Like here's one of them. I need a cell phone, right? That is a need of life. I think it's in one of the charts somewhere, right? You got to have, and not just a cell phone. I need one with all the megapixel pictures and all the memory and all of the other stuff. And I know this may come as a shock, but how many of you grew up in a time where there were no cell phones? Wow, you guys are still alive. How did you make it without a cell phone, right? Let me just say, cell phones are nice. I'm thankful to have my cell phone. But how many of you know sometimes it can actually be a hindrance to conversation? Yeah. Sometimes it can be a hindrance. But let me just say, I like having my cell phone. It's convenient. It's a blessing. But let's be honest. It's not a need. It's actually just a want. And just because yours is getting old and you don't have the most stylish one, let me tell you, if it's still functioning, keep it, because these things aren't cheap. Am I right? Well, it's only $28 a month if you put it on payment plans. Anyway, let's move on. How about I need a bigger house? I like how Timothy mentioned that, because it is true. They got three kids in a two-bedroom trailer, and that is tight, right? And we're all, oh, I got to have bigger. Well, we mentioned when we were in El Salvador, and I actually got a couple of the pictures. These were their homes, right? It was cinder block. It was crumbling. Some of them, they made it nice, but that was the main living room. That was the kitchen right there. And then there was a small bedroom on the back. That was it. No matter how many kids you had. And it's like, you know what? I may want a bigger house. I may want more, but let me just say, that's a want and not a need. If we have shelter, we should be content, right? And then this was mentioned at every one of those homes. None of them had air conditioning. And I know, none of them. And let me just say, here we go. In my life, I had to swallow this. I want air conditioning, but I have to realize I don't need air conditioning. Boy, that got quiet. It's hot. I mean, yeah, it's hot. I know this may come as a shock, but do you realize that for the most of the history of the world, there was no such thing as air conditioning? Right? And we're still here. And let me just say, some of you guys know, and I'm going to say it. Yes, we have solar panel on our house, and at night I do turn my thermostat down. Nobody throw anything at me, down to 62. And let me tell you, I sleep like a baby. I like my air conditioning, right? So, but I can tell you, I've learned how to live without it. We were in El Salvador for 8 days, and I managed to sleep every night, right? Last year, we were there for 9 days. I slept every night. So here's the thing. If you can't sleep when it's hot, all you got to do, I found the key, wear yourself out during the day, and you will sleep through anything, right? So it's just a need. So here's our basic needs right here. It's food, if you got food, shelter, and clothing. And actually, I want to add a fifth one to that, if you have Jesus. Amen. How many of you know he's not a want, he's a need? If you've got all of that, you really have everything that you need. Do you realize that half of the world's population lives on less than $5.50 a day? That's about $2,000 a year, right? That, and some of them way less than that. 25% of the world's population don't even have access to clean water. And it's like, man, if I had, and we think, oh man, I've got to make sure mine is purified 36 times and in the right bottle, and then, you know, make sure it's not with the wrong plastic on it. And, you know, we get so picky about it. And it's like, you know what? They would drink out of our garden hose compared to some of the things they have. And so we have to like realize that, man, I really am blessed. They say by the year 2030 that 40% of the world's population will need adequate housing, that they will not have adequate housing. That's huge. Those are things. And let me just say, looking around this room, knowing those that are probably watching on the camera, we don't really have any needs. We just have wants, don't we? Yeah. We just have wants. And let me just say this. Having a want is not sin. You realize that, right? Just because you may want a bigger house or you may want whatever, that's not necessarily a sin. But I do want to say that until you learn how to be content with what you do have, I don't believe God's going to bless you with more. Right? Because more important than you getting more stuff is us learning the aspect of being content with where we are. Being content with what God has given us. When we begin to believe the lie, and that's what we're talking about, of I need more and I'm going to tell I'm happy. I need this. I need this relationship. I need more money. I need a promotion. I need more children or maybe less children, no matter what your case is. I need a bigger house. I need a better car. I need more vacation time. Listen, all of that stuff may sound great, but if we're constantly looking at what we don't have, and calling it a need, then that is the problem, right? So here's a fill in your notes. I got to say it slow because I can get tongue-tied. When we fail to look at what we do have and we only look at what we don't have, then what we do have will never be enough. Amen. Does that make sense? Right? If I'm just constantly focused on, I don't have this, I don't have that, everybody else has got this, and realize, instead of saying, hey, listen, Lord, thank you for what I do have. Thank you for what I do have. Because even if you get all of that stuff, how many of you know you're still not going to be content? Because you never learn to be content with the little. You never can learn to be content right there. And what I realize that we don't have a need problem, we have a perspective problem. Right? We have a perspective problem. That's what the issue is. And if we can't be content, like I said, we will never be happy. Let me just say, even if you got the relationship, the job, the bigger house, the car, the money, the vacation, all of the things that we feel like we need, even if you get it all, if you've never learned that secret, then you will always be discontent. There are millionaires, billionaires that aren't content. And you're like, well, you got everything, but they don't have Jesus. That's the most important thing. Here's the reason. The world creates this lack in us because we're not content because we can't stop comparing with somebody else. Oh, compare. Oh, look at this. Look what Johnny's got. Look what Susie's got. Look what they got. And we just keep comparing. And let me just say, social media hasn't helped in this area. But I want to tell you, that attitude of comparing has been around way before social media. Right? There are phrases that some of you will remember hearing. How about the thing of keeping up with the Joneses? How many of you have heard that before? I don't know who the Joneses are, and I don't know why we got to keep up with them, but that's a phrase out there. There's the rat race, right? Anybody ever hear that one? And some of you guys have heard me say this, that if you, even if you win at the rat race, how many of you know you're still a rat? That's right. or here's the one that I've heard, he who dies with the most toys wins. That's comparison. That's trying. Oh, I need this. I need this. Let me tell you, we don't need half of the stuff that we think. And it seems like we have this. Here's the thing, especially when you're young, we have the idea of what our perfect life is going to be. I'm going to get married. I'm going to have this 2.3 kids, the perfect house, the perfect job, the perfect, all we have this dream idea. And then all of a sudden life hits as we get older. There's our dream. Here's our reality. And you know, your discontentment is that gap in between. How do you manage that gap in between is that you learn to be content as given you. Yes, you can still strive for more. You can still push. And I would encourage that. I'm not telling you settle for the least amount possible. I would say be content with where you are and keep pushing and keep believing God for more. Right? But that shouldn't be determined on your contentment. Amen? Discontentment. It's not so much about who we are, what we do have. How many of you know it's more about who we're not and what we don't have? That's where it comes in. Oh, I don't have this. I'm not the greatest speaker. I'm not this. I don't have that. And here's the reality. We don't need to worry about who we are not when we live in the awareness of who God is. Amen. Amen. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Because that kind of sounds churchy, doesn't it? Right? Like, what do you mean by the awareness of God? Let me just bring it in for you right here. When did we forget about who God was? Right? When did we forget about what Jesus did in our lives? How he forgave us, how he set us free. How many of you know that you and I possess the best news that has ever been heard? Right? We have a home in it. That God so loved the world that he sent Jesus for you and I. How many of you know? We have that. And when we get so caught up in what we don't have, then we forget that we are actually a friend of God. That we are actually redeemed by him. We are adopted into his family. Amen. So in this life, yeah, there are challenges. There are struggles. There are things that we feel like we're living without. But listen, when you have Jesus, you got everything. You've got everything. When did our contentment forget about the cross? When did it ever, what did we start missing that we're like, oh, you know what, Lord, thank you for the cross, Lord, and we can sing that, but man, I sure need that other car. Man, I sure need this, and I need that, and I can't get this. And it's like, how many of you know you live in a frustration in that way? Let me tell you, serving the Lord in that way can be very frustrating because you're thinking, God, you got to give me more. You got to give me more instead of being thankful for what God has already given you. Amen? So the answer, the question that we have, is the cross actually enough for you? Is what Christ did on that cross actually enough? So in order to solve this discontentment attitude that causes us to tell all kinds of lies, what we have to do is return to the cross. We have to go back and say, that's why we do communion once a month, is that we've got to go back and realize, Lord, thank you for what you did in my life. Yeah, I may not have this and I may not have that. Somebody else has got something bigger or whatever. But Lord, I thank you for what I do have. I thank you for the family that I do have. I thank you for the blessings, the church family that I have. Those are things to be thankful for. So we have a lack of contentment. The second thing that causes lie is a lack of character. That's obvious, right? If you don't have character, you're going to lie about everything. I mean, let's just be honest. Humanity is a mess when it's left to its own. Isn't that true? That's obvious. Here's the thing. When we are left to ourselves, then guess what? We end up making life all about ourselves. Oh, it's all about me. It's all about me. Actually, when you think about living life when everything's about you, that's kind of miserable, isn't it? All right, there's no joy in that. I mean, those of us that went to El Salvador, the tears that were being shed, how many of you know that was true joy? And it wasn't about any of us that were able to go. It was about the people that we were able to reach. Yeah. Let me tell you, that's life's fullest joy, is being able to love God and to begin to actually love other peoples and demonstrate it. It's one thing to say you love. How many of you know it's a different thing to actually demonstrate it? Right? So that, I pity people that live for themselves. I pity people that are caught up in that. And in that situation, it becomes very easy to lie. It is easy to lie. Right? If you're just living for yourself, I mean, listen, if I tell this lie about myself, it makes me look better. If I tell this lie, then it makes my life easier. It's easy to lie about what you did last week so you don't have any accountability in your life. Oh, yeah, I'm not going to tell that. If you happen to be accountable to somebody and they ask you what you did, isn't it easier to lie? Right? I mean, it just is, especially when it's about you. So, when you think about lying, we think that, if I just tell most of the lie and I just leave out a part, how many of you know that's not a complete truth? Right, and I've used this illustration. I thought about getting it together, but I didn't. That if I had a clean glass of water here, 100% water, we would be willing to drink it. But if I went and got an eyedropper of toilet water, squirted it in there, and I said, "Hey, would you drink? How many of you would drink that?" Right? I mean, it's already, the toilet was flush, but I just got it out of there and put it in there. We wouldn't drink that, would we? Right? Because here's the thing. If something is 99% true, how many of you know it's still 100% false? I don't want 99% pure water. I want 100%. Amen? Like if I was talking to somebody in this first service about flying, it's like, oh yeah, it was John Gordon. He's like, yeah, how many of you saw that plane that went down? Like, was it in Brazil or something like that? And it showed the pilot, and we were talking about it, and he was only like in his early 30s or something. And John goes, he says, when I get on a plane, he goes, I always like to look at the pilot. He goes, I want somebody that's been flying a while. Yeah. Here's my story on flying. I want a pilot that has landed the plane 100% of the time. All right, I don't want somebody, hey, listen, I got a 98% land right, you know. No, I want 100%, and that's what truth is. If it's 99%, it's not true. So here's the thing we need to realize. Truth is powerful. It really is. It's not just about, oh, I didn't lie. No, truth in itself is powerful. Isaiah 55:11 says this, that God says that my word will go forth and it will accomplish what I sent it to do. Right? That's how powerful God's word is. You don't need to add to it. And Jesus said this in John 8. He said to the people who believed in him, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teaching. How many of you know his teaching is his word? Right. What does the Bible say? Jesus is the word, right? And he's like, so when you're staying faithful to the teaching, you're staying faithful to Jesus. Then he says, and then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Right, and he goes on to say this in the chapter 14. I am the way, the truth. How many of you know he doesn't just speak truth? He is truth. Right, he is truth. And he says, no man comes to the Father. So when we begin to speak truth, how many of you know we're speaking Jesus? Amen. We're bringing Jesus into our situation. Whatever it is that you have a temptation to lie about, and it's like, okay, I can lie about it, but if you will choose to tell truth, how many of you know Jesus is in there? I'm speaking truth. I'm speaking Jesus into this. So when we speak truth, we are declaring Jesus. I just said that. So when you do speak truth, how many of you know it reveals what's hidden in your heart? Like if truth is always coming out, you are showing Jesus. But it goes on to say this. Jesus said, the good man brings good things out of the good things stored up where? In his heart. Evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflows of your heart, your mouth is speaking. So if I speak truth, how many of you know I'm reflecting Jesus? But if I'm speaking lies, let me just say this. The more we lie, the more that we reveal who's on the inside. And I believe that the more you have Jesus, the more honest you're going to naturally be. You're just going to naturally be there. So there's a fill-in. The more holy you are, the more honest you're going to be. And if you're just fooling yourself and you're saying, I love God, but only lies are coming out, how many of you know that's revealing something as well? That's revealing something just as well. So one thing that I have learned is that the more I am a truth teller, the more that I align myself with Jesus. That my words begin to align with Jesus. That I begin to reflect Him more. But I believe the flip side of that is true as well. Because Satan is known as the father of what? Who knows? The father of lies, right? So the more I allow lies to come out of my mouth, I'm aligning myself with the enemy. Right? I'm aligning myself with the devil. I don't want to do that. And so it's like, oh, well, it would be so much easier to lie. But if I realize that if I lie, whose corner am I moving into? I want to, it may be hard sometimes to tell truth, but it's like, this is my character on the line. Like I said, this is a reason people lie. They don't have character. They can lie at the drop of a hat because they don't have character. The more you allow God to change your character, the more you begin to speak truth. Amen? Amen. So how do we fix this lack of character? Is it about behavior modification? Okay, I'm just going to stop lying. I'm going to start telling the truth. Is it that easy?
No,
not at all. It goes back to the same thing that helps the other one. We got to return to the cross. How many of you know God, the Holy Spirit, is the only one that can change your character? Right? We can change our behavior a little bit temporarily. You know, okay, well, I'm going to try to do all the right things. No, I believe it's until you have an encounter with Him that that's what begins to really change you. Jesus was honest. He was, and let me just say, sometimes Jesus' honesty stung people, didn't it? All right, they don't always like it. I don't want to tell you, people don't always like the truth. I don't always like the truth. Sometimes my wife tells me something that's true about myself, and my initial reaction is, I don't believe that. But then I have to think about it for a while. It's like, oh, that is truth. Lord, sometimes truth hurts, isn't it? But it's like it's good for us because it's purifying. And I want to tell you that if you align yourself with being a truth teller, there's going to be times that some people are going to get mad at you. Right? Somebody, might defriend you on Facebook. I know, I felt that suck, that air escaping the room, right? So, but I do want to say this because this is important for us to understand. I can speak truth without being offensive. Purposely being offensive. Some people, like, I'm just going to speak the truth, and they do it like they're wielding a sword ready to slice and dice. Right? The Bible says that the Word of God is like a two-edged sword, and they take that literally, and they're going to slice anybody they can. But, you know, it's interesting because in that scripture, and I didn't pull it up, I just thought of this, it says that a dividing of the soul and spirit, it's more like a scalpel. How many of you know God's Word's more like, it's not like, hey, listen, I'm just thrashing and dashing, and I'm going to bring truth to you, and I'm going to let the pieces fall where they may. How many of you know that's dangerous? It is possible that you will offend people by speaking the truth, but you can speak the truth without the goal of offending. And this is a phrase I heard, I don't know where I heard this years ago. People may hate you for your position, like I'm choosing truth, I'm choosing what's right, but they shouldn't hate you for your disposition. Does that make sense? Right? Not have the wrong attitude. Listen, you got to love people. If you can't love people, keep your truth to yourself. Amen? Just keep your mouth shut. Because what does it say in Corinthians? You're just a clanging gong or a crashing cymbal. Right? So Lord, help me to love people before I speak truth to people. That makes a big difference. Anyway, let's move on. The third one is a lack of confidence, which causes us to want to lie. And I think this one is so much more internal. It really has more to do with the lies that we believe. And we say things like this. I think probably most of you in here have done that. I know I have. If you're not doing well, something's going wrong, and somebody comes and asks how you're doing, and what is our response? I'm fine. And how many of you have said, I'm fine, when you were not fine? Come on, let's raise your hands there. This is, we do that all the time because we don't want to answer. Can I tell you, it is okay if somebody comes up and you don't want to get into the details of why you're not fine, and they say, how are you doing? You could say, you know what, I'm struggling in some areas. Could you pray for me, without going into detail? And if they say, well, what is it? Say, you know what, just pray for me. You don't have to give them the details. You don't have to lie. I just want to say, here at Freedom Church, you don't have to put on your church face to come to church. Oh, I'm going into church, so everything's great. Hallelujah, I'm blessed, you know. Too blessed to be stressed. I know, that's bad, right? And it's like, so many times, let's be honest, we don't always come in fine. We come in with baggage. We come in with hurt. We come in with struggles. And this should be a safe place that you don't have to tell everybody what's going on in your life, other than saying, you know what, there's some areas I'm struggling in. Just pray for me. Pray for me. And that's okay. So, but anyway, we believe that. Sometimes we say things like this, maybe not to others, but to ourselves. Well, I'll never amount to anything anyway, so it just doesn't matter. I'm just not that good. God's not blessed me. This is just who I am. And the thing is, we end up lying because we have these things called confidence issues. Yeah. Right? We have this thing. And let me just say, it doesn't start with other people saying, oh, you're this, that, and the other thing. It really starts with us. And we need self-reflection sometimes to realize the harm that we're actually doing to ourselves. By repeating those lies that either the enemy, and let me just say, yes, the enemy lies to us, but I've met some of you guys that do a good enough job, the enemy just leaves you alone. Right? Like it's like the enemy comes up and it's like, man, they've worked over themselves pretty good. I'll just let them go at it, right? And it's like we just beat ourselves up with all these confidence issues. And I want to tell you, the Bible is full, thousands, I don't know how many. Somebody needs to do a study on how many promises God has made to man. Mankind, womankind. Some of the ones that I wrote down here, you're not alone. You don't have to go through this alone. I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Though you walk through the fires, you will not be burned. You will not drown. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. God says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper, give you hope and a future. He goes, I will give you life and life more abundantly. How many of you know there's a lot of promises that I could begin to share? That's what God says about us. And we have to realize that, hey, listen, God, I believe what you say. We've got to realize that you have value. It doesn't matter what other people say. You have value simply because you were created by God, in God's image, and for God's glory. You don't have to become something else. You don't have to act like something else. You can be who God created you to be and have all the value in the world. Amen? This world tries to push other things. Oh, you need to act like this. You got to do this. You got to do that. Listen, you are not an accident. Amen? You're not. You might have been a surprise to your parents. I mean, that happens all the time. You are not a surprise to God. God knew you. God created you just the way you are. Amen? How many of you know you can rest in that? You can rest. It's a struggle to try to be someone else, isn't it? It's exhausting to try to act like somebody else. It's refreshing to be who God has called you to be. And I believe that the issue isn't even the value that we have. It's more about the lie that we believe. And what I want us to understand is this. The enemy is more bought into your potential than we are. I want you to kind of think about that one. Here's the thing. Satan knows that if he can get you to believe a lie about yourself, then he can keep you in a box and you will never achieve the purposes and the things that God created you for. Does that make sense? And the enemy knows that. Let me tell you, he's been around for a long time. He's seen potential unlocked in thousands and millions of people. And so his goal is to keep you believing a lie so that you will stay in that box and you will never become who God created you to be. And here's the thing. A lot of times people are afraid of the devil. Ooh, the devil. He's so scary, you know. He's got the big red horns and all of that. Let me tell you, we don't have to be afraid of the enemy. But the Bible says that he's like a roaring lion. How many of you know if you have Jesus, then we have the Lion of the Tribe of Judah? Amen. He is the one that is on our side. And I want to tell you that the toothless lion is afraid of that. He's not just afraid of God. How many of you realize he's afraid of who God created you to be? Because he knows that if you can unlock who that is that God called you to be, he doesn't like that. You might actually go on a mission trip to El Salvador and see 350 people give their lives to Christ. Amen. But if you remain, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that. Listen, other than Ren and Timothy, that were both in their 30s, the rest of us are old people going and sweating. And it's like, but God used us. God used us in that situation. Satan wants you to believe that lie. Older people, let me just say that. Sorry. Seasoned with salt on our watermelon. So just the inside joke there. Anyway, he wants you to believe. And listen, as I was praying about this message, I believe the enemy wants you to begin to repeat those lies over and again. And I just want to challenge you, stop agreeing with the enemy about who you are. Yeah. Amen. If you hear anything, stop agreeing. Don't repeat the lie. Oh, I'm this. Oh, I'm that. Oh, I'll never amount. Stop agreeing that. I want to tell you the truth that will set you free. Amen. That's what the scripture says. And when you believe that, God sets you free. When you believe the lies, guess what you're doing? You're getting chained up. You're getting chained up to the things that those lies say. Oh, I can't do that. I wish I could do that, Pastor. I wish I could help. I wish I could serve. I wish I could do all that, but I can't. Listen, that's an absolute lie. Stop believing that stuff. Because when you believe the lies, how many of you know we start repeating the lies? We start telling them to other people. Oh, yeah, no, you can't do that. I think it was and sorry about using you, Daniel, but last year, you know, Daniel is like, you know, struggles a little physically, and somebody had told him, oh, you can't do this. What do you think you're doing going on this mission trip? You can't do this. Didn't have somebody tell you that? And it's like, yeah. And it's like, forget that. I could believe that lie, or I could do it anyway because God called me to do it. Amen? So we got to step out. We got to be free. I believe the problem that we have is a belief problem. If we believe the lie, like I said, we'll share it. And until we fix that problem with our mouth, here's the last filler. When you have a firm understanding of who you are in Christ, guess what? You don't have to prove it to anybody. Amen. They may keep coming and say, well, you can't do that. You can't do that. It's like, hey, listen, I know who I am in Christ. Amen. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Amen. I can do the things that are the impossible. Amen. So stop believing that. How do I understand who I am in Christ? Friends, I got to tell you, you got to do the hard work. I can't do it for you. I can be your cheerleader all day long telling you who you are in Christ, but there has to come a time that you actually get into God's Word. You begin to read the promises of God. You begin to retrain your brain. Anybody ever have to retrain your brain? Right? The longer you believe a lie, how many of you know the longer it takes for you to stop believing the lie and start believing what God said about you? Like, stop believing what the devil said. Why am I saying that? Like, you can catch yourself in mid-sentence and say, stop it, brain. Right? This is what God says about me. So I got to get into God's Word. I've got to retrain my thought process. I need to be around people that will encourage me in the Word. Right? And, you know, one of the things, we have a men's Bible study on Friday. If you can make it, and I added this to my sermon after our men's Bible study because we were talking, I just thought, man, this was good. It was Psalms 1, starting at verse 1. It says, oh, the joy of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked. How many of you know the wicked will tell you lies?
Oh, yeah.
Right? Don't follow their advice. He says, the joy. Or stand around with sinners. How many of you know sinners are going to tell you lies? Or join in with the mockers. Mockers are going to tell you lies. But what do? You delight in the law of the Lord that tells you truth, that will speak truth in your life, meditating, thinking about it, ruminating on it day and night. And look what the promise is in verse 3. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. So how do I fix this issue? I know it's the same way we fix the other ones, is we have to return to the cross. Amen. We have to return to the cross. We have to realize our value in God. Does anybody here happen to have a cross necklace that you're wearing right now? If you got it, hold it up so we can see it. Look, there's all kinds of them. I want you to understand that cross is not just a symbol of what Christ died for. How many of you know that's your price tag?
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful.
That's your price tag. That's how much you're worth. You know, you go into a store, what's the price? You hold that cross up, it's like, that's my price. That's my value. Jesus said, you are worth dying for. You are worth going to the cross. And so, friends, I want to challenge you as we get ready to sing this. We've got to change our language, don't we? We got to change how we talk to people. We got to change how we talk about people. And we have to change how we talk to ourselves. And we need to ask ourselves, the words that come out of our mouth, is this speaking Jesus? Am I speaking Jesus or am I speaking lies? Am I speaking truth? And so before we do this, I want to pray. I want to pray two prayers. First of all, I want to pray for those that have ever believed a lie over yourself. And maybe that lie is still there and it's still hounding you. And you're still thinking about it. You're caught up in that lie. Oh, I'm this. This is what I am. I believe that God wants to set you free. Can we pray that? If that's you, you don't have to raise your hand because God sees it. I want you to receive this prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have come to set us free from the lie of the enemy. And Lord, I know that there are some in this room and maybe some watching online that have been lying. It's been told to them, the enemy shared it, maybe other people have spoken it over them, Lord, and maybe they have gotten to where they speak it over themselves. Lord, I just want to break that chain. Lord, I break that bondage of that lie right now, and Lord, that they would begin to get a glimpse of who you say they are. Lord, the price tag for them was the blood of your Son. And so, Lord, I begin to speak freedom over their mind, over their heart. And Lord, I pray that you begin to release the potential that you have called them to be. Lord, you have a calling and a purpose for everyone here. Lord, let them begin to obtain that. Lord, not to settle for less, but to be the best that you have called them to be. Lord, I thank you for that. You know, I want to pray one other prayer. Because if you're here today and you say, you know what, I don't have a relationship with God. I know who God is, but I've not really been serving him. But you want to make a fresh commitment to him today. And let me just say, with everybody's head bowed, because this is really between them and God. And if you're saying, listen, I want to make a fresh commitment and a fresh start to him today, can you just raise your hand where you are? Just say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm not going to make you come up. Amen. I see several hands. Thank you. Lord, I thank you that you take us no matter where we are. Lord, you love us however messy we are. Lord, how imperfect we are. And Lord, I just thank you for your love. And so, listen, if you raised your hand, maybe you didn't, but you want to say this, can we all repeat this prayer together? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son Jesus to pay the ultimate price for my sin. And today, I give you my heart. I give you my life. Help me to serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, listen. There's several people who made a commitment to Christ. Can we give them a hand clap? That's worth it. Amen. We had 350 in El Salvador. Let me tell you, if we have 1 or 100 that are here that do that, it is worth it. And listen, if you haven't been baptized, please let me know. 2 weeks, we're going to do it at the park. But I want to challenge you to stand up because we're going to speak Jesus. How many of you know this song? I want this to be a theme, at least for this week. Let that be something that ruminates on your mind.